Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. We are moving right along here. We are in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6 today, a verse-by-verse study of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me. And if this is your first time, welcome. And I hope you can make some time to listen to the previous sessions so you can approach chapter 6 here in context. And this is a lengthy chapter. It appears as if all of these chapters here in the book of Luke are lengthy. So I will do multiple sessions in this chapter. So in Luke chapter 6, what is the gist of these upcoming verses? Well, we are about to learn how the Lord Jesus himself said he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, so if you are not aware, what really is the Sabbath? Let's begin there. The Sabbath is an ordinance that God had given Moses as a template for rest. And this rest had to do with a spiritual, mental, and physical rest. And for the Old Testament people or the Jews, the Sabbath would typically begin at sundown or Friday evening and throughout Saturday. They were supposed to rest and focus on their relationship with God. It was supposed to be a template, okay, because the Lord tells us in Genesis chapter 2:2 that he created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days, and on day number 7, he rested. Now, the rested here, that the Lord rested on day number 7, does not mean that God got tired, God was tired. No, I discussed all of this in the book of Genesis. You can go back and re-listen if you're interested. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He has infinite power. He wasn't tired. He just rested because what he had done in those 6 days were perfect. There was nothing else to do or to add to that. So he rested on the seventh day and made it holy. And as a result, he gave this ordinance to the Jews to rest on the seventh day as a template that you could work for 6 days and take 1 day to rest, to recuperate spiritually, get into the assembly with other believers, worship and praise the Lord, reflect on the goodness of God, reflect on your relationship with God. And by doing this, you would refresh your spirit. You would stay attuned and actively connected to the living God. And then that would feed into your mind and provide clarity. And then that would feed into your body and provide physical rest. That way, when you get back to work, you are more spiritually, mentally, and physically ready. That was the whole idea here. It was like a template, and it was only meant to be a temporary template because the Lord Jesus would be our final Sabbath rest. And Bible scholars tell us that there were approximately 39 categories of task or laws or things prohibited to do on the Sabbath. Okay, so approximately 39 categories of activities that were prohibited by the Jews to get involved in or to engage in on the Sabbath day. As an example, on the Sabbath day, the Jews were not to do any harvesting. You know, they were farmers mostly, you know, but they were prohibited to do any kind of harvesting, any kind of sowing or reaping. And that way they could rest and focus on the relationship with God, as I had already mentioned. But the problem with the Sabbath, though, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had come in and added so many other unnecessary tasks that were not in the original law of God. And this addition that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had placed on the law was just bothersome to the people. Okay, so that is what we are going to find out here. So in a nutshell, that is what the Sabbath is all about. If you're interested in learning more, please listen to my teaching out of Exodus 20, because Exodus 20 verses 8 through 11 was where God gave the original ordinance to honor the Sabbath. And then throughout the book of Deuteronomy, it is also emphasized, and even in Leviticus. So go back and listen to my previous teachings. I had done a lot of teachings on the Sabbath. So with that brief background about what the Sabbath is, let us get into these verses, and then we will find out why the Lord Jesus said he is the Lord of Sabbath. So we are in Luke 6, verse 1. On Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some herds of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Verse 2, some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" There we go. Let me pause here. All the disciples were doing, as we just read, they were just rubbing the heads of grain in their hands, and the Pharisees accused them of breaking the Sabbath. Wow. So by the disciples just doing this, picking up some heads of grain and rubbing them in their hands, the Pharisees essentially were accusing the disciples of threshing, okay, or really threshing, which just means just separating the plant from the grain. And that was not what they were doing. They were just rubbing it in their hands. So as I mentioned earlier, the Pharisees had added so much into it, and it was just bothersome to the people. So Jesus' disciples were accused of breaking the Sabbath. So let us find out how the Lord Jesus would respond. In verse 3, Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? Verse 4, he entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Let me pause here. The Lord Jesus is alluding to a story that is recorded in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6. Again, 1 Samuel 21. Verses 1 through 6, this is the event whereby King David was running away from Saul, and he got into the house of God. The high priest back then was Ahimelech, and King David and his companions ate the consecrated bread. Let me just give you perspective. Again, I discussed this in the book of Leviticus and also in Deuteronomy. But the 12 loaves of bread that were typically on the table, okay, in the temple represented the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Again, 12 loaves of bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were placed on the table in the temple. And it was called the bread of the presence. And this was used during the worship and praise service of the Lord, okay? And usually, after the 12 loaves of bread that were consecrated, were used for worship and praise to the Lord, the priest would be allowed to eat the bread, and then it would be replaced with 12 loaves of fresh bread for the next praise and worship to the Lord. So when King David was running away from Saul and he got to the house of God, he ate the 12 consecrated bread that had been already used for worship. So that is what is going on here. But what the Lord Jesus is alluding to here, the principle here is that even though it was the law for no one else to eat the consecrated bread except the priest, King David and his men, because of their human need of hunger, they ate the bread. So the Lord Jesus was highlighting and focusing on paying attention to a human need versus extra do's and don'ts that the Pharisees had added into the law. The Lord Jesus was not saying that David broke the law or that people should break the law. No, he was just alluding to the fact that the Sabbath laws should be looked upon in light of the mercy and the compassion of God towards people. But the Pharisees were not doing that, okay? So human needs is above and beyond ritualistic do's and don'ts, even in church. That is the take-home message here. So Jesus was like, just as David and his companions were hungry, they ran into the house of God and they ate the bread because they were very hungry, Likewise, we should not allow these do's and don'ts of the law to become more important than extending mercy and compassion to human beings. That is what the Lord Jesus was alluding to when he responded to the Pharisees, and that is still true today. We should never overlook people's need because of ritualistic church doctrines. No, human needs are more important to God, okay? So that is what the Lord Jesus is saying. And then he went on to say in verse 5, then Jesus said to them, now them, referring to the Pharisee, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Here we see the Lord Jesus alluding to one of his messianic titles, the Son of Man. And he was telling this to the Pharisees so they can go back and look at the scriptures, because the book of Daniel, one scripture is coming to mind here, Daniel 7:13. I talked about the Son of Man referring to the Messiah. So in essence, the Lord Jesus was saying that I am the Messiah, the Son of Man. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, this is so powerful. He told that to the Pharisees. And today, Jesus Christ is still the Lord of the Sabbath. So let's talk about this here quickly. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today as we study God's Word. Friend, as this ministry is blessing you, I want to speak to your heart. Would you consider blessing us back with a one-time donation or become a Christ-centered partner? As a Christ-centered partner, you join hands with us and with the Lord in the middle, and you pray for us on a regular basis. We pray for you on a regular basis, and then you bless us financially with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. And the primary way we will use your financial donation is to pay for studio time so we can produce more Bible teachings like this and to reach more people. This is God's will for you, for myself, and for the body of Christ, that we give into his work so we can reach many more people. And God is so faithful. He has told us throughout his word that he will bless us back abundantly, exceedingly, as we give right back into his work. One scripture you can stand on is Luke 6:38. God will bless you back as you give into this fruitful ministry so we can pay for studio time to produce more shows and reach more people. I also want to leave you with this scripture just to strengthen you to know that when you give into God's work, God takes it seriously. Deuteronomy 15:10 teaches, give generously, okay, to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That is a promise that when you give into God's work, God will take it seriously and he blesses you back abundantly. So friend, as you have been blessed by these teachings, we thank you in advance for blessing us back. So here are some ways you can donate into this ministry anywhere in the world. All you need is internet access. Here is our safe and very secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, it is drruthtanyi.org/donate. You can make a donation right there, whatever the Lord puts in your heart. We receive it and we say thank you. If you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here is the telephone number. It's 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. We also receive donations through Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi, that is for Cash App. And we thank you abundantly for investing into this fruitful ministry, and together we are advancing God's work and transforming lives. So we thank you for your donation, and God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. Here is the teaching. Why did Jesus say he is the Lord of the Sabbath, or why do we say the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath? Now, remember, as I had just mentioned, the Sabbath had 39 categories of laws that the Jews were prohibited from performing on the Sabbath day. And these were just types and shadows of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And as I had mentioned, these were temporary until the real thing, the Lord Jesus came. So the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath because he is a fulfillment of all of the Old Testament laws, including those 39 categories of laws pertaining to the Sabbath. So he is a fulfillment of that, which is why he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Did you get that? And we know that Hebrews 4 verses 9 through 11 and other scriptures teach that we find our Sabbath rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not labor anymore as 21st century followers of Jesus Christ. We do not labor to gain acceptance from God. We are accepted into the beloved because of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies and laws. So we rest in Jesus Christ as our Sabbath. He did it all. He performed all of the laws perfectly. He fulfilled them, all of them. So we come into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we rest because we are no longer in a performance relationship whereby we have to perform ABC before God accepts us. No. This was the doctrine during the Old Testament era where God was dealing with them based on do's and don'ts and based on all these laws. But Jesus Christ today has fulfilled all of that. He died on Calvary's cross, and on the third day he was raised from the dead, and he is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father. All of these laws have been fulfilled. So we do not perform. We do not have to do ABC for God to accept us. We do not have to, like I mentioned in the previous session, get into fasting for X amount of days or prayer for X amount of days for God to accept us. These are called works. We are into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He has fulfilled all of that. Our jobs is to renew our minds and obey God, number one, live in accordance with godly laws and allow God's blessings to chase us, and we appropriate his blessings. We stand on God's promises because 2 Corinthians 1:20 teaches all of God's promises through Christ are yes and amen. So we rest from impressing God. So we rest from do's and don'ts to get God's favor. We are favored because of Jesus Christ. We are accepted into the beloved because of Jesus Christ. We are loved because of Jesus Christ. God hears our prayers because of Jesus Christ. We can go boldly into the throne of grace and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and God hears us. Are you getting this? I am blessed just thinking about this, that we don't need to perform and for God to accept us. So if you have gotten into performance, if you have been taught wrong that once you miss the mark, i.e. when you sin, you have to do A, B, C, D for God to accept you, that is false. Mm-hmm. The Bible teaches that, you know what, if you miss the mark, you truthfully repent from a genuine heart. You ask God to forgive you, you confess your sins. God will accept that and restore you back into fellowship with him. Okay, that is out of 1 John 1:9-10. Which teaches clearly that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So your job is to genuinely confess and stop practicing sin, and God, the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, offers ongoing cleansing. So we don't have to get into performance mode to impress God. God is impressed. God sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. I hope you receive that. So that is what it means to imply that the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. This is like a shriveled hand. It was like crippled, probably from what we would call today arthritis. Verse 7, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Okay, now, the Pharisees, they were already planning how to trap the Lord Jesus, and they were looking for ways. So they knew he was going to do something on the Sabbath day. So, wow, let's find out what would happen here. verse 8. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, Jesus Christ, pulling from the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of discernment, knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. So he was going to actually do exactly what the Pharisees were thinking he was going to do. I just love it. How the Lord Jesus was going to openly defy the Pharisees' understanding of Sabbath to teach a point. I just love it. Okay. So the Lord Jesus now, knowing what the Pharisees were thinking, he said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Wow. I just like how the Lord Jesus spoke to that man and that man obeyed. Verse 9. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you. So now the Lord Jesus asked that man to stand up. The Lord Jesus is going to use this as a teaching point to teach the Pharisees, even though they won't receive it. So the Lord Jesus continued, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? I just love it. So the Lord Jesus is calling this man attack on this shriveled hand, this arthritis, evil. And the Lord Jesus is saying, which is better to do on a Sabbath, good or evil? Right here, we see how the Lord Jesus is saying that healing is good. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, there are people today who are like, God is no longer healing today. Miracles are of the devil. Well, the Lord Jesus is saying that sicknesses are of the devil. And it's true. Healing is good, okay? So now we are in verse 10, the Lord Jesus had asked the Pharisees this question, and the Lord Jesus is alluding to the fact that the Pharisees are not thinking about the mercy and the compassion of God and the care of human beings. They're only thinking about their ritualistic do's and don'ts. They are not even caring for people. So that is why the Lord Jesus is going to show compassion and love to this person on a Sabbath. Okay? So now, he had asked the Pharisees this question about doing good or evil on a Sabbath, and this man with a shriveled hand is standing in front of everybody. Verse 10, he looked around. This is the Lord Jesus now. He looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so. The man obeyed. The Lord Jesus gave this man an instruction. This is powerful. There's a principle here. Let's go through these verses. Then I will explain the principle. The Lord Jesus said, just to repeat that, stretch out your hand. He did so. The man obeyed, and his hand was completely restored. Let me pause. Did you see what's happening here? The Lord Jesus asked this man to do something in faith. Faith without corresponding action is dead. As this man obeys to stretch out his arm, in the process of that arm being stretched, that healing manifested. Did you get that? Let me repeat that. He looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. So we see true Bible faith in operation. This man had the faith to obey God. Mm-hmm. He obeyed Jesus Christ. He received the Lord Jesus' instructions. He stretched out his arm, and in the process of acting out his faith, that healing manifested. Friend, let me ask you a question. Jesus is God. Jesus Christ has authority over sicknesses and diseases. He exerted this authority during his earthly ministry, and he is still doing the same today. Don't you think the Lord Jesus would have just touched that man's arm and did not ask the man to act or do anything, and that healing would have manifested? Yes, but we are co-laborers with God, okay? The Lord Jesus stirred this man's faith. The Lord Jesus is teaching us true Bible faith. True Bible faith, which begins with believing, must accompany action. Are you getting this? True Bible faith is simply believing in God's promises and acting accordingly. Had this man refused to stretch out his arm, that healing would not have manifested. Friend, I don't have the time to teach on Bible faith, but here's a principle. Whatever you're believing God for today, the Bible says you need corresponding actions for your faith to be effective, for your faith to be completed. If you are sick today and you're laying in bed and playing sick, that is not Bible faith. Bible faith is when you feel sick and then by faith, you trust the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you and you get out of bed and you at least act as somebody who is well, because in the spirit, you are healed already by the stripes of Jesus. Likewise, it's like finances. If you have no money in the bank and if you have no money at all, if you have a dollar left to your name, give 10 cents away. Plant a seed and trust God to release that seed to come back to you 100 times fold. In God's kingdom, the way we receive is we give in obedience. If you want healing, act in obedience and pray for somebody else to receive healing. This is so powerful that a lot of times we can believe, but if we don't act, nothing happens. And you know, I don't really want to get into teaching on faith. I've talked a lot about faith. I want to just recommend that you get my book, simply titled Faith to Receive God's Promises. How to walk in biblical faith and allow the blessings of God to chase you. This is a book that in it I discuss 14 biblical laws that govern true Bible faith. This is a book I wrote during when I was fighting metastasis cancer, colon cancer, and the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, taught me these principles right from the Word of God, how to stir and strengthen my faith and position myself to receive my healing. This is a simple teaching book on true Bible faith. It will take you maybe 6 hours to read. These 14 laws will transform your lives. I've received dozens of testimonies about people who read this book and their faith walk was really strengthened. Okay. It is called Faith to Receive God's Promises, How to Walk in Biblical Faith and Allow the Blessings of God to Chase You. And the laws are not do's and don'ts. They are laws of having a revelation of how much God loves you. If you know how much God loves you, your faith would be strengthened. Having a revelation of the grace of God, the compassion of God, how that would strengthen your faith. These are the laws that govern our faith. So I really recommend that you get this book. It will really, really help you. If you live overseas, please get it from Amazon. But if you live in the continental USA, please get it from us. It comes to us as a ministry donation of $20. And let me just tell you right now how you can get this. You can visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And make a donation of $20. We will ship this book to you. That includes shipping and handling. We are also on Cash App. The address is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. And then if you live in the continental USA, you can Zelle in a donation on your cell phone. The Zelle telephone number for the ministry is 909-501-9031. And we will also add this in the description box and the link so you can get to our website and get a copy of this book. We also have it on a USB if you like to listen while driving. It would really transform your life. And please know that whatever you get from us comes to us as a donation. So get it. It will bless you and then bless us back as we will put the money back into this podcast to pay for studio time and spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Okay, so now this man had obeyed, we're getting back here, and the healing had manifested. So we are now in verse 11. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. They were upset because the Lord Jesus just openly defied their man-made rules and regulations and just showed to them openly that God cares about people, and the Pharisees did not. So in essence, the Lord Jesus exposed their hypocrisy and they were mad. Just like today, if you have ministers and Bible teachers like myself who preach healing and preach the miracles of God are here in the here and now, and we preach things like speaking in tongues, there are other people who are mad at us. That's horrible. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Whatever Jesus Christ did during his earthly ministry, he is still doing today. Healings are now. God is a good God. The devil is bad. Healing is good. sicknesses and diseases are not from God. That is just a simple theology. You can take that to the bank. Okay, let's move on here. The next upcoming verses, the Lord Jesus Christ would appoint his disciples and call them apostles. And that's what we're going to learn here. Verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. So we are learning how the Lord Jesus often take quiet time just between him and God, and I had discussed this previously. This is a template for us. We should make time early in the morning, several times a day or in the evening, to just spend quiet moments with God, just us and God, and to be refreshed spiritually and to hear from God. And it's okay to have these corporate prayers, but it's important to pray alone, you and God, because your corporate prayer, meaning praying with others, is only as good as your prayer time with God. So spending quiet times with God is more important, okay? Number one, then corporate prayer. We are learning that from the Lord Jesus. So he had prayed all night long, apparently, to make this final decision to call his disciples the apostles. So we move to verse 13. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Apostles means sent one. And obviously, he will send them out into the nations to preach the kingdom of God. So we are now in verse 14. We are going to learn the names of the apostles, which we kind of already know from previous sessions. Then we have Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So that is what the Lord Jesus had done, took some time out to pray and connect with God to get direction before making this decision to call out all the 12 and assign them the title apostles. Likewise, before we make any major decisions, we need to seek solitude with God and pray, okay? So I will end this session here because there is a lot we've covered. So we will pick it up next time in verse 17. So what is the major principle and application we've learned from the first 16 verses? Resting in the Lord. I've talked about that. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of Sabbath. He is our Sabbath rest. We do no longer impress God. We don't get into do's and don'ts to impress God. We are accepted into the beloved. We talked about prayer, having that quiet time with God, to connect with God, to pray personally, and then, of course, as a group. And the last major application I want to share here is just accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of all Old Testament laws. He is the fulfillment of all Sabbath laws. And I do know that some of my Christian colleagues still observe the Sabbath on Saturdays. There's nothing wrong with that. Most Protestants, we observe Sabbath. That day of rest for us is Sunday, and I know that some of my Christian friends, like the Seventh-day Adventists, they still go to church on Saturday. There's nothing wrong with that, but most of us go to church on Sunday. But the principle is taught out of Romans 14, 5 through 6, that we should not elevate any particular day, okay? Every day or any day that we decide can be holy is how us and God, we make that decision. So elevating one day more than another day is no longer necessary. We live in the grace era whereby every day is holy to God. That is out of Romans 14, 5 to 6. Again, Romans 14, verses 5 through 6. So we don't need to get offended when people don't go to church on a particular day or when people go to church on a particular day. That's between them and God. We don't live by do's and don'ts. We live in accordance with God's law and love, in obedience with God's law in the Bible. And we know that Sabbath is good for us, but it is not a ritualistic do's and don'ts. And there's wisdom in taking one day a week to rest because it's good for our spirit man, for our mind and of our soul. And even medical science has shown that taking one day to rest spiritually, mentally, physically is good for our health. So I highly recommend it. So going back to what I started to say, Jesus Christ is the final fulfillment of all of this Sabbath law. So if you have not come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I'm giving you the opportunity to do so right now. Jesus Christ himself said, we just went over that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. I've explained what that means. He fulfilled all of God's laws perfectly. He is the Messiah, the only Son of God. He was God 100% and man 100%. Jesus Christ is the only human being in the history of the world who experienced this supernatural conception by God, the Holy Spirit. He bypassed that sinful seed that every human being born into this world inherit because of the transgression by Adam and Eve, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3. We know that Mary experienced a supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. And that supernatural conception means that the Lord Jesus bypassed that sinful seed of the human race. Okay, he did not inherit any sinful seed at his conception. Because as you've heard me explain in the past, in previous sessions, even medical science supports that the fetus in the mother's womb, the blood of the fetus and that of the mother do not intermingle. So the Lord Jesus Christ was not exposed to Mary's blood as a fetus. And obviously Mary and Joseph did not have any sexual relations, so Jesus Christ had this supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit, the only human being in the history of the world. Hence, he is the Son of God, God in the flesh. And because he was born by a woman, Mary, he is the Son of Man. So Jesus Christ is your Messiah. Do you believe these things I'm explaining here? Jesus Christ himself said he is the way, the truth, and the life out of the Gospel of John 14:6. No one comes to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. And Acts 4:12 teaches that there is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ. So if you have not made a confession of faith to come into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I am giving you an opportunity to do so. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's a fulfillment of all of the Old Testament laws. He fulfilled them perfectly. Are you ready? Do you believe in these things I'm saying? If you are ready and you believe in your heart, the Bible says it's simple. Out of Romans 10:9, that if you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, that he died and on the third day he was raised from the dead, and you confess that, you shall be saved. It's as simple as that, is believing. This is the grace of God. Don't think too much about this. So if you are ready, I'm going to say a simple prayer. I want for you to just repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I believe in my heart and I am confessing that you died for my personal sins. Thank you for dying for me. I receive the forgiveness of my sins right now. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and change me. From today, moving forward, I believe in my heart and I am declaring that you are my God, you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for accepting me. By faith, I receive your acceptance. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that and you meant it genuinely, based on the authority of God's word, I declare you a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you are sealed by God the Holy Spirit. God knows you personally. God the Holy Spirit will begin his work to mold and shape you into the image of Christ, sanctifying you, revealing more of Christ to you, leading and guiding your life as you obey to him. The next thing is to find a Bible-believing church and start attending and plug yourself into ministry there. And please continue to follow me in this podcast and grow in the knowledge and revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And please contact me so I can send you a free book to help you grow in this relationship with God. Glory to God. And let me just pray for all of you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, we get our Sabbath rest. We thank you for the God that we don't need to impress you, but you accept us because of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the God that your Holy Spirit indwells each of us who have confessed faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us unto all truths, revealing more of Christ to us. Father, we thank you for such grace and love we cannot fathom, but we say thank you that we don't need to perform. We don't need to impress you. You accept and you love us as we are, and you want to take us into a better place. You want to help us to attain the fullness of our potentials. We thank you that you just love us unconditionally. We receive it. Father, thank you for all the listeners. I thank you that you've impressed this truth of your love and your grace into their hearts today, and they are rejoicing in your goodness and your love. I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody says amen. Friend, remember to check the description box and get the book on faith, and also I recommend you get my testimonial book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, and to learn how to receive healings in your body. God loves you.
Today is a day the Lord has made, so rejoice in it as you proceed with the rest of your day. I am Chris Horam. Goodbye.